Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want to welcome all of you to the service today. Before I get into preaching, there's something God lays on our hearts in Nigeria. While I was talking with Dad and planning to come here, I'm so sorry he's in Kenya, but that is good. At least he's doing the work of God. But you have to come back here now. I think very, very seriously that Generation Church is one of the best mission-supporting church that I know. And for a little over 20-some years that I've been friends of this church, I've seen them not just bless us, but I've seen them get involved in a whole lot of other churches all over the world. And so we pray back home, and we decide that we're going to give an award to a Generation Church. So you need to come, sir, and take this award from me. It said this is from Gospel Outreach. An award of honor presented to Generation Church, Spring, Texas, as the best mission supporting church. Thank you. Thank you. Love you. This is very powerful. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you. We love you only because you showed us what love is by loving us when we never deserve to be loved. You saved us, you blessed us, you healed us, you prospered us in every way that we turn. Lord, today we come to express to you that we love you, we appreciate you, and we thank you so very, very much. This morning, Lord, speak to our hearts and bless us like never before. Let your name be praised and be glorified. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. In Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Luke, Gospel, chapter number 10. Luke, Gospel, chapter number 10. Luke, Gospel, chapter number 10. I'd like to read from verse number 25. I read, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou?" That is what we need to know. How do you read the word of God? What does it say to you? "And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor?" I thought he would have known this before now. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest, probably a pastor, that way, and when he saw him, he passed on by the other side. And likewise, the Levites, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto them, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? Verse 37. And he said, he that shows mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. This morning, I probably want to speak on the subject, what do you have? Can he use it? What do you have? Can Jesus, the Son of the Living God, use that which you have? This is a very, very, very beautiful story. Interesting one, of course. The Bible here talks about a lawyer. I don't know if we have any in the house. But you see, he really was talking to a lawyer, but the same, you know, is applicable to anybody, any profession, any business, whatever you do, housewife, school teacher, anything at all that you do. So the Bible talks about this man. He was the one first who came to the Lord because he wanted to look very impressive. And he wanted to show, I got it together. I'm okay. And he said to him, what do I do? If I want to inherit the kingdom, and how do I take care of that? And the Bible said, you know the scripture, and how do you read it? And you know that is where a lot of people missed it. When they read, how do they read it, and how do they understand the things that they read? You know, in the book of Acts, chapter number 8, I believe it was, there was a man, the eunuch of Ethiopia. Man, he was reading the scripture. He was reading about Jesus. He was reading about his crucifixion. He was reading about how he came to take the sin of the world and yet have no understanding what he was reading and how that applied to him. And the scripture goes on that there was this man by the name Philip, and Philip had preached in Samaria, had tremendous result, and God said to him, join yourself to this chariot. And then he met this man reading the Bible. And I'm sure he'd been reading the Bible before, because the scripture had said that the man had gone to Jerusalem for to worship and was in his way back home and was reading the Bible, maybe reading what the preacher had preached in the service that day. And Philip came to him and said, "Listen, man, do you understand what you're reading?" And the man said, "How can? Somebody had to teach me. Somebody had to show me." And Philip went on from the same scripture telling him all that Jesus was going to do in the life of every human in the face of the earth. The man got saved, the man got baptized, and God worked with him. And of course, Philip departed by the supernatural hand of God providing him a transportation. So when you read, you need to understand what you're reading. And so here, this lawyer came. And then Jesus said, "What do you read in the scripture?" And he said, "Listen, man, you must love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, with your mind, with your strength, with everything within you. And then the next thing you have to do is to love your neighbor like you love yourself." That's what they're talking about all day. I mean, this week, you know, they're talking about the love of God, the love of man, the Valentine and the rest of them, you know. Listen, now we live in that days when the love of God have to flow freely through every one of us. Not just only loving God, because the Bible said if all you do is to love God and never love man, he said, hey, there's a question mark on the love of God within you. And so when you love God, it helps you to love man. It helps you to relate with man. It helps you to be a blessing to man. It helps you to be a blessing to your generation. It helps you to be a blessing to your community and people around you. So this man said, "Man, you know, I've done all of these," and so on and so forth. And then wanting to justify himself, he said to the Lord, "Who actually is my neighbor?" I mean, you would think that this man guy would know who his neighbor was before today. And here is this man saying, "Listen, man, you love the Lord your God with all of your mind, your heart, your soul, and everything, and your neighbor, and yet have no idea who his neighbors was." Because if he knew who his neighbors was, he probably would not be asking, "Who is actually my neighbor?" Well, Jesus took the time to explain who his neighbors was. And he talked about the Good Samaritan. He talks about the preacher, the Levites. I mean, the people who walk in the church, those who are in the helps ministries and all of that. And he talks about the priest who is the pastor and the preacher. And listen, now I can tell you there's so many, many, many people in church today who don't know who their neighbors are. And among those people can be the preacher, can be the, you know, those who are in the, you know, what do you call it again now, in the help ministry, and those who love God, profess that they love God. They don't know their neighbor. And so the Bible said that he said, "Listen, man, there is a man who had a need. He was on a journey from Jerusalem. He was going to Jericho. Only who knew what he went to Jerusalem to do and what he was going to do at Jericho. But anyway, he was on his way to Jericho. Oh, I wonder about this man. I don't know. You know, if we think that today is bad, look at all the things that happened in the day gone by. This man, several thousand years ago, people were robbing, they were kidnapping, and they were doing all kinds of crazy things in those days. And yet the Bible said, man, he was minding his own business, but yet a robber was on the way and attacked him and almost killed him. And the Bible said they left him half dead. I wonder how that looked, to be half dead. It means you are not alive, but you are not really dead yet. You know, the medical doctor may have come and prepared the heart. Man is still kind of beaten, but yet can say anything, can move his hand, can move his leg. They just knew, well, he seems to be alive, but yet, you know, he can't say nothing. And then the scripture said there were three people who came by, and one of them was the priest. And he came and saw this man and said, oh, I gotta go. Don't have this much time to spend with you. Sorry about your problems, you know. And I hope you see someone who is willing to help you. And left him there. And then the Levite came. And you know what was amazing, though? The Levite even took the time to look on him, but yet was not willing to get his hand dirty to help this man. He abandoned and left him there, even though he looked on him, which means he knew the condition. He came so close to know what he was going through, his pain, and he knew all the trouble the man was going through. He came and looked on him, but couldn't help out at all. And then the Bible talks about this Samaritan who would not probably be taken for a Christian, doesn't know God, may not have been filled with the Holy Ghost and talk in tongues, and may not have been going to church on a regular basis, maybe 3 times a year, on the first of the year, on Easter, and perhaps on Christmas, you know, if he does go. But he came by and saw this man laying there half dead, and he thought about this man. I said, my goodness, who did this to you? Oh, I'm so sorry that this happened to you. But you know what? You know, I can help you. Let's see what we can do. And you know, look at what the Bible said about this man. He, first of all, bind up his wound and poured oil on him and then took him up and put him on his own beast. And then took him to an inn, which will be in the hospital today or clinic or something. But somewhere in a place where he can see a doctor, you know. And took him there and said to them, you take care of him. And listen now, he was willing to spend the night with him. Because it was on the morrow when he was leaving the place, because this guy was in intensive care and needed not to leave him alone and spend the night with him. So on the morrow when he was leaving, he called the people and said, listen, man, you know, I don't know what the condition would develop to, getting worse or getting better. But anyway, you can take this money in case it gets worse. And in case you need to buy some prescription medicine and all of those kind of things, so you can have this money. And when I come back, if you spend more, I'll be willing to pay. And he left him. He may have come back, may have taken care of this guy's problem. But you know, when I look at this Samaritan, I was amazed at what he was willing to share. Watch this. When he was leaving home, I mean, every one of us this morning when we left home, nobody anticipated that there could be a terrible wreck on the way. Nobody prays or anticipated that the situation on the way could be very bad, and then you might need to spend extra time, you know, taking care of situations. So which means this man, when he was leaving home, he decided to have an extra money in his pocket just for himself. He had extra oil just for himself. He had extra things just for himself. And he was willing to walk, or was willing to give somebody a space in his beast, so that he could help the man and he can inconvenience himself. This is interesting. Very interesting. And I wonder about that. Why would this man have all this extra oil, extra all of that? And then, when this situation arises, he was willing to let go, because he poured his own oil, which was not meant for the man. It was meant for him. So which means oftentimes when God demands something out of us, it's not the leftover. It's not something we're not willing to spend on ourselves. It's not something that we can use. It may be something that we will use for ourselves, something that we were not really prepared to part with, but yet this man was willing to let go and take care of this person he never met before. Oh, when I saw this and I came into the church this morning, it really, really excites me, because I already thought know what I was going to share. And I was reading through all of these things, and I saw the six things that Generation Church is involved with: a monthly support for evangelism, missionary all over the world, a church build, 100 club build churches in remote villages in Kenyan, Indian, in Philippine, and all of that. And I see Generation Church support teens, orphans, and so on and so forth, and motorbikes for missions, and so on. Locally, you know, here we support, you know, nourishing for need, and so on and so forth. I said, wow, this is powerful. This is great. And you know, like I said, you know, I met, you know, Pastor Hales in Butler, Alabama. There's a gentleman by the name Louis Sumrall. We met in Ghana in 1990. And so Louis Sumrall invited me to his church. And then I went there preaching. He asked me to come back the next year. I went back again. And it was in the next year that I met Pastor Albert Hales. And since then, we've been friends. Has brought me here to share, and you have been a blessing. You've helped, you know, in buying motorcycle for pastors, in drilling wells, you know, for good water in our place, in our people, in Nigeria, and so many things you have done. And I saw that, I said, wow, this is good. And you know, those money that you give, you know, you could have spent it on yourself, you could have invested it on so many things, but you taught, my goodness, let's support a good cause, let's touch life, let's change life, let's take hope to people. And that is the reason you commit to doing that. And this man was willing to share what he had so that somebody can have peace and joy and life and fulfillment, and can resurrect and be quickened and be healed. And today I'm saying the same thing, in case, you know, you're kind of winding down, getting discouraged, and thinking, my goodness, I can't continue to do this. But the Bible said, be not weary in well-doing, because there is a due season. And when the due season comes, you'll reap if you faint not. So never give up. Never give in, never quit, because this man didn't know who his neighbors was. And he thought, my goodness, I can pride myself and so on and so forth. Only for Jesus to tell him who his neighbors was. And you know what is amazing? When he finally realized who his neighbor was, and Jesus said, just what that man did, you go and do likewise. Amen. You know, it's amazing, though. A lot of people, man, they read all kinds of things from the Bible, but they're not willing to do likewise. I was reading in a Facebook message this morning, and some of the writings were written by African people, Nigeria people in particular. And somebody first started, I didn't comment on that because I think that was absolute foolishness, and was saying, well, you have to give tithe and offering and so on and so forth, and the pastor, you know, get blessed, and other people don't get blessed and things like that. And I said, listen, man, if you really know who God is, he says to everybody, give, and it shall be given unto you. He wasn't talking to pastors. So if the pastors get reward, it means they gave, they expect, and they gave in faith. So if you never get result, it means you gave, but you gave with a grudging heart. You never believe that God can bless you back, and so you never get results. So when I see that foolishness, I said, forget about this. Because God is a good God. He is a righteous God. When he says do a thing and you commit to doing the thing, he gives back to you. He is not unfaithful to forget our work or labors of love. So here, look at this man. He was willing to share everything he owned that day when he met a need. The man was dying and needed help. He was willing to, you know, listen now, he abandoned his trip that day. He forgot about what he wanted to do. And you know, oftentimes the reason people don't do what they want to do for the kingdom of God is because they think, my goodness, if I take time out to do that, I may never get to where I'm going on time. And they've forgotten, man, God is a God of timing too. But the Bible says he does everything beautiful only in his own time. If you take time out, oh, how I wish. I mean, I wish that every day, everywhere I go. Listen, man, I don't know if everyone here at Generation Church have had this, you know, opportunity to go to India, you know, Kenya, and so many other nations, Guatemala. Listen, in your lifetime, do your very best to go. Because when you go and you see the need, it births something within your spirit, man, and then it encourages you to want to go all the time and to fulfill the purpose of God for your life. If you never went, you never saw, never experienced what could happen in your life just by going. Oh, this is a great church that believes in going to the ends of the earth and preaching the gospel. And so you will have no excuse for not going. And then when you go, it creates an idea in your heart, in your mind, how the kingdom of God can be done.
Amen. You know, I'm amazed all the time. You know, I see, you know, young ones, grade school children, you know, everywhere I go within this country, and oftentimes they come around with candy only because of the cost they're doing in their school, and they're raising money by asking you to buy candy. And you know, as little as that, we can do that too for the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God get bills around the world.
Come on. Amen.
I know that the churches you build in Africa and the mindset of the people of African, it's really not like the mindset of most people in America who won't go to church because there's no carpet. Who won't go to church because there's no air conditioning? Who won't go to church because the parking lot is not paved? Who won't go to church because of so many things? Listen, man, you're blessed. Is it just talking about the parking lot being paved? Our roads that leads to the parking lot is not paved. And most of them have no car to get there. They walk miles. They love it. They're singing as they go. They're singing the Lord Jesus. Oh, they bless every day of their life. And then they come and they're sweating. And yet they're exuberant about it. And just jumping and getting excited about the things of God. And yet you have some who said, my goodness, I ain't going there, man. You know, no air conditioner, no padded chair and all of it. Listen, man, we sit on benches like what you have in, you know, Brush Harbor and all of this kind of campground and things like that. Oh, they love it. And they're excited about God. But this man here, who this good Samaritan, or the Samaritan, the Bible said, as he went, he met a need. And he took time out to meet with that need and help that man. Amen. And I'm sure, I mean, we have it. I mean, this thing happened several thousand years ago, really. And hey, here we come now. We're talking about it. I wonder, when that man recovers in the hospital, I wonder what he does about the man who helped him. Oh, I'm telling you, everywhere he went, anyone who was willing to listen, he must have told them, listen, man, I was a dead man 3 days ago. I don't even know the guy, don't know his name. But I knew, because even in my struggle, there were two people. One wore a collar. It must be a preacher. And one man was really dignified, probably wore a tie. You know, must have been one going to church. But no one had a time for me. And there was this dude, man. Didn't really look like He got it together, but when he got to where I was, he was willing to get his hand dirty, and he helped me out, and look at what the man have done in my life. Today, there's so many opportunities that God has given to you, has given to me. There's so many things. Listen, my friend, you have a job. And then, you know, left and right, people are being laid off. But instead of you being laid off, you've been promoted. And the reason for that is, the Bible says so in the book of Deuteronomy. It said, it is the Lord thy God that gave thee power to get wealth, so that the covenant of God can be kept and it can be done. So when God blesses you and prosper you and do you well, it's for the purpose of the covenant of God being established in the earth. So whatever it is he had given to you, Are you willing to share? And let's use it for the kingdom of God. You know, I went yesterday, sir. I flew into Houston from Africa on Friday. Yesterday, I wanted to look good, man, so I went to the barbershop and have a haircut and then kind of do some coloring too, you know. And, man, that guy was committed to sharing the word of God with everyone that came into the barbershop. He was talking about his pastor. Man, you need to meet with my pastor, man. He can preach. He can do this. I mean, hey, if that is the best he can do, brilliant. So not only that God wants your money, he wants your time. And he wants you to be committed to it and to do it as unto the Lord and to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. You didn't have to go to Kenya to preach. You didn't have to go to, what do you call it now, at Guatemala to preach. If you can't preach here, you can't preach when you get to Kenya.
Come on. Come on.
And listen, the people out there, they can pull it out of you. And if you don't got it, you'll have nothing to share. So let's go in our place of work. You're saying, Brother Mon, you need to understand. No, they don't allow us to preach in our place of work. Who said that? You have lunch break. That is not in the time of your company. It's not in the time of your place of work. And let them know. I don't know what problems you're going through, but I believe God. We can pray about it, and God will answer. And listen now, everyone who have a need, they don't care where the answer come from, they'll be willing to give you a hand so that you can pray for God to demonstrate his power in their lives.
Amen.
So let's go. Let's help our neighbor. Let's preach the gospel. That's what we're doing in Africa. Particularly in Nigeria, I sent two videotapes to, or DVD to Pastor, you know, I believe sometime last year, where we're drilling wells in Nigeria. Because you still have some remote villages where there are no running water at all. And you still have pastors. And they probably are 50, 40, and so many years old, never own any form of mobility at all. And we have bought tons of them, motorcycle, and gave it away. In Nigeria, man, you know, I know some of you have contributed to that before. I mean, about $700 to $800 can buy what you call a dirt bike here. But to them, that would be a luxury automobile or something. And they love it. They get excited about what God has done. And they're going many miles and many other villages to let the people know that God is good. Amen. So whatever we can do, whatever it is that we have that God needed to use, let's give it to him. Let's allow him to use it for his glory and for his honor. And I'm telling you, when we do that, what a blessing and what a joy it will be. And most importantly, listen, I believe that Jesus is coming back again. Amen. For all that is happening all over the world is pointing to us that, hey, his return is imminent. He's almost here. You know, this morning I'm still battling with time. You know, Nigeria is about 7 hours from Houston. You know, 7 hours ahead. So I woke up about 3 o'clock this morning, and you know, trying to, do I wake up, do I sleep, you know. Of course, I woke up, you know, get a cup of coffee and all of those kind of things. And went back to sleep around 6 o'clock, get up about another 1 hour and things like that. And I'm telling you, listen, man, people are different. And I watch, you know, in between, I watch the TV. And boy, you see all of them getting at each other's throat and all of that. And they don't even know what they're talking about. And everything that they talk about is a pointer to the fact that Jesus is coming back again, and they don't know it. And we have to go and tell them, he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. So allow him to use your time. Allow him to use your resources. It's a great privilege that we'll be willing to share and let God do a work in our life, every day of our life. Listen, my friend, as I close today, Jesus said to you and to me, not only that we must love God with all of our hearts and mind, our strength and everything, we must love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's why I came here today, to let you know that and to share with you the love of Jesus and to encourage you. Find somebody you can bless. Find somebody you can minister to. Find somebody that you can encourage. Find somebody you can inspire. Find somebody you can let know that, hey, listen, man, don't give up. There's a better tomorrow. You may have failed. You may have had disappointment in your yesterday. But I guarantee you, there is a better tomorrow. And it's almost here. So if you don't know this Jesus, listen, he can turn people's life around. I wouldn't be here if that Jesus never came into my life. Oh, I can look back now, 40-some, almost 50 years ago, I went to church where the church service was going on and smoked marijuana right inside the service. We get up the preacher and beat him up and run him out of town. We went to his home, seized his books and his Bible, and told him to never get them again. But the guy, when we took his Bibles from him, that night he came out of his house and lifted up his hands towards heaven and said, God, this young man, I pray for him today. Let him not die. But that Bible he took from my house, let him preach that Bible. And look at what God have done through the mercy of God. And that man loving me like he loved himself. Didn't pray a prayer of judgment on me. He prayed that God would save me and make me preach the gospel. And listen now, for 43 years, I have literally as a pastor preached the gospel because somebody showed me love. Oh yeah. Somebody showed me love. That's what I wonder about some today. They want to call fire down from heaven like Elijah and burn somebody. Hey, let's show them love. Let's believe God. They can do better when they really understood the love of God. They can live a better life. They can be an instrument of blessing to others if they understand the purpose of God for their life. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, you want to say, Brother Igbinosa, I want to know this Jesus and followed him and allowed him to use me every day of my life. I'd like to pray with you this morning. I believe he is a good God. Oh, yeah, Paul said this is a faithful saying that Jesus came to the world to save sinners of whom he was a chief. Listen, man, if he can save a chief, I mean, I think the rest of the people, man, they just know the problem to him. And if he can save me, he can save you too. And he want to save you today. He want to bless you today. He want to help you today. If you can allow him to do the work in your life. I'd like to pray with you. You're here this morning. You want to say, Pastor, please, I just wanted to agree with me. I don't want to live my own life. I want to live for God. I want to, you know, whatever it is that I have, if he needs it, hey, I'll be willing to let go. Let him use it. That is you. I'd like to pray with you this morning. Let's bow our hearts. You can signify by raising up your hand and say, Pastor Igben, also, I need help. I need Jesus in my life right now. Pray for me. I'd like to pray for you. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? You want him to be the Lord of your life. You want him to use what he gives you. You're willing to lay down and be a help to somebody else. We can pray for you this moment. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Sir, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to come. The guy who raised up his hand. Can you come, sir? I'd like to pray with you just now. Blessed be to your name, Lord. We worship you, Father. We say, hallowed be to your name. He loves you, sir. He loves you. Amen. Just say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. From this day forward, I yield my life to you. Use me, Lord. And for everything that I have, I'm willing to lay down. For you to use, for your glory, for your honor, in the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I lay hands on him and I pray that your will be done in this life. We break the power of evil. The life of God will command to flow freely in this life for your honor and for your glory today.
In Jesus.
A blessing, Father.
Hallelujah.
A blessing, Father. That every day of his life, the blessing of God will be the only thing that flows in this life.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive now.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. And I praise your wonderful name. Thank you, Father. Blessed be to your name. You're here this morning. You want to say, Brother Igbenosa, I just believe God. If he can help that man, he can help me. You're sick in your body. You want to say, hey, pray with me. I believe God is a healer. I'd like to pray with you. If you're that individual, I don't know what you go through in your life, but I'm telling you, God is a good God, and he is our healer. He blesses us when we commit to him. You're here this morning. You want me to agree with you and just pray with you. I'd like for you to come. I'd like to pray with you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, you're a wonderful, 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 wonderful God. Your name is above every other name. And your word said that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Lord, I lay hands on this, your people. Touch them today. Touch them today. Touch them today. Let your hand touch these ones. And Lord, let there be a creative miracle in this body. Oh, from the crown of our head, through the back, Lord, I lay hands, I speak life now in the name of Jesus. receive in the name of Jesus the healing virtue of Jesus. Let every pain go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Oh, blessed be to the name of the Lord. Wele mangale bahata la mande la bakroto na manglata. I lay hands on your daughter. I speak life. I speak wholeness now by the authority of the name of Jesus. Be blessed of God now in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Take authority over every struggle in this life. Let your hand move and cause these things in the name of Jesus to work around him. I bless him today. I bless him today. By the authority of the name of Jesus, I command that you be blessed of God. Let the commanded blessing rest on him. You are our healer. Oh, yes, we give you praise for your daughter. I lay hands on her. Do for her today what no man can do for her. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of evil. Command the authority of Jesus to work in this life. Causing the joy of the Lord to be her strength from this day forward. Oh, thank you, Father. Mandele bahata la mandele bahata kalaba. Mikalaba boskopo. I lay hands on you today and I pray for you. Yes. Heavenly Father, when Peter was in jail, the light shone in that prison door. Every shackle, every chain was broken. Today I command the light of the glorious gospel to shine in this life. That every chain, every bond be broken now in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father, for freedom. Thank you, Lord, for freedom. Thank you, Father, for freedom. In the name of Jesus, thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom. Yaha healer. You're the strength of her life. She is not the sick, she is the well. She is the heal. She is the whole. By the authority of the name of Jesus, I command it to be so now. In Jesus' name, be made free. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Oh, blessed be to your name. I pray for your daughter today, Father. Let your peace overwhelm her. Now, in the name of Jesus. Every works of darkness, I command you to be broken. In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Father. 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 Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Yes, we give you praise. No more weakness in the bone. Strength come in now. In the name of Jesus. From the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, I command the healing virtue to flow through. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, beautiful Jesus. Thank you, wonderful Jesus. Thank you, glorious Jesus, for the good thing you do in our lives. Today, we thank you for your healing virtue. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your ability, for the creative miracle that, Father, you do in our life. I lay hands on your daughter, and I pray now, in Jesus' name, be blessed of the Lord. In Jesus' name, be healed of the Lord. Now, by the authority of the name of Jesus, let every pain go. Let there be a creative miracle. In the name of Jesus, be made free. Now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, just lift up your hands and just begin to appreciate him. Lebra che so brenga da ba le cretonde ska frende mikalabada l'ombre che mgrete scapacle di no hotene mangle l'uvre se frete nengla valema brebus vega da ba l'ukrenische vrondo vregadas che prevono mandele bahata. Oh, we worship you, Lord. 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 We praise your wonderful, 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 wonderful name. Thank you, Master. Thank you, glorious God. Look at all the good things you're doing among your people. You're setting the captives free. Lord, we thank you. Your word said that, God, you give sweet sleep to your beloved. No one here will begin to have sleepless night. In the name of Jesus, we break every power of no sleep. We break you from their life, from their home. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. They have your peace. They have your peace. They have your peace. They sleep well. They sleep well. They sleep well. They sleep well. They have your peace. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise today. We worship you, Father. It is well. It is well. It is well. It is well, we declare. We thank you, Master. In Jesus' wonderful, 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 wonderful name, we pray. If you believe that, shout a big amen. I say, shout a big amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise God. Well, let me thank you again for the opportunity to come, sir, and just share with you what God lays on my heart. And I want to thank you for partnering with us all this many, many, many years. You know, like Pastor Scott said, 4 years ago, I take on the responsibility of leading about 4,000 pastors in a state in Nigeria. It is a lot of work. You know, you have to travel almost every day from one church to the other, dealing with issues that concerns church, pastors, and all of those kind of things. And hey, I've seen grace like I've never seen grace before. What God can do, how he can strengthen a man. And then when you know also, there's a whole lot of needs. And one of my heart is just to give a will to pastors. Let them be effective in what God have called them to do. Listen, I'm a firm believer. Every man called of God can do a whole lot if they are encouraged. And that is why I want to encourage people, give them a motorcycle, you know, go to churches and villages and drill a well. To drill a well in Nigeria is about, you know, $3,000-$4,000. You can drill a well, and they have a good running water and all of that. Put a tank up and everything. People can have a great time. And you know, that have drew a lot of people to know the Lord. These are things the government don't even want to do. And yet churches are coming in and doing all of that, and they just want to flock to the church, love the Lord, and you know, get excited about the things of God. So I want to ask you today to partner with us. You know, to buy a motorcycle, like I said, back home, buy $800, can buy a motorcycle.
You know, you can do that from your company, your home. You know, a couple of people can do a whole lot. And just blessing pastors. That's my heart. And I want to ask you to be a part of that. Let's be a blessing that we've always learned to do before. Let's be a blessing. And I guarantee you, one of the things I love about the Word of God is that He bless you back. You know, Paul, when he talked like this, he said, listen, man, one thing I never forget to tell you is not just about giving, but concerning giving and receiving. So when you give, you must expect that God will give you back. And I'm trusting God. Let's give the devil a black eye. In Nigeria, you know, Nigeria right now contend with all kinds of Islamic attack. In the northeast of Nigeria, my goodness, is an invasion that we must stop by the preaching of the gospel. Because the government really can't, I mean, it's a known fact now, they can help the people. They can help the people. They even have a better firepower than what the government do have from Boko Haram. But you can pray. We can believe God together. We can send Bibles and encourage pastors and all of that. And that can bring salvation, even to these guys who are doing all of that. Listen, man, I was reading through the scripture the other day. Paul said, when it concerns zeal, I persecute the church. So, oftentimes they do what they do ignorantly. But when they found the faith of Jesus, it's entirely a different ballgame altogether. And we can do it together and make them find Jesus in their heart. Instead of killing, they can begin to help the gospel to be spread all over the place. I love you with all of my heart. And I want to thank you for praying for us and for believing God with us and being part of what we do to touch lives in Africa. God bless you. Come on down, Pastor.
Thank you, sir. Love you.
Love you.
Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. What an incredible word. So timely for our church. Amen. Amen. That is just so exciting. And the, you know, right now we're going to give you an opportunity to give into Bishamana Benosa's ministry. If you need an offering envelope for your giving, raise your hand. The ushers are coming with an envelope. If you're writing a check, we just invite you to go ahead and write it out to Generations Church, and we'll make one check and get that to him. You know, this is good ground to give into. This is really good ground. And you know, here at Generations, we care about the people who are going to come and speak into your life. We take that burden of responsibility very seriously. And this is a man of God. This is a man you can trust. This is good ground to sow into. And not only, you know, when you're giving, it's not only you're sowing into good ground, but when Melissa was reminding me, it's an extension of you. When you give into his ministry, it's an extension of yourself. You're giving part of yourself. Most of us can't jump on a plane this afternoon and go to Nigeria and start preaching the Gospels. Most of us won't go over there and help to mentor and guide 4,000 other pastors, you know. Most of us aren't there on the front lines of terrorism and, as he said, Boko Haram, all doing those horrible things in that country. And this man is right on the front lines of that. When he talks about being a neighbor, who is my neighbor, showing mercy, showing love, the love of Jesus that can change hearts. He's not just making stuff up, you know, from a comfortable chair. He lives that. He lives on the front lines of that. And that's truly why he's a hero to me. And so I encourage you to give into his ministry. They'll be coming with the offering buckets here whenever you have a second. Yeah. And I think that message is so apropos. It's just sitting there as you're preaching on that Good Samaritan. It's so beautiful because, you know, the Lord gave our church two words for this year, right? Does everybody remember what that is? Disciples make disciples, right? And no one walks alone. What a beautiful picture of that. There's a lot of different ways we make disciples. Sometimes it's preaching the word, but you know, a lot of times it starts with just going out of our way, inconveniencing ourselves, and giving what we have to someone. You know, giving what we have to someone who needs food, someone who needs shelter, someone who just needs time. They need love. They need prayer. That's part of discipling. That's part of making disciples, being those kind of people, disciples who make disciples, and being the kind of people who make that decision, as we have made that decision at Generations, that no one here walks alone. We're not going to let it happen. No one walks alone. And that means stopping and sometimes accompanying somebody along the way, right, along their journey. Praise the Lord. Thank you guys so much for your generosity. You guys are always incredibly generous to all of our guests, so we don't have to beg you for that. And I just thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for that. We love you guys. Next week, we will be back here. We'll be back here talking about Jonah. And Pastor Albert and Monica will be also back here. And that, I'm guaranteeing you, they're going to share some exciting stories of what they're experiencing, right now in Kenya. So make sure you're here for that. And we love you guys. Y'all have the best week you've ever had. We're going to ask our prayer partners to come on forward now. And if you need anything else for prayer, if you didn't come forward before and you need someone to stand with you in faith, go ahead and come forward now. These guys would love to pray with you. All right? We'll see y'all later. Bye-bye.